filmic Rorschach card. I've been showing it to Eric, not to be confused with a Rorschach card.
I don't know what to think of that.
There ought to be a test that they give people on 70s sitcom recognition called the Rorschach test. That's funny. You sons of bitches, you write that down right now. If you don't laugh now, you'll laugh later. You know, later on today, you're going to be high. I mean, not that anybody in the audience does that. Probably you'll be drunk, maybe, or just really tired. And you're going to think to yourself, I'm going to go administer a Rorschach test. And then you're going to laugh. You're going to laugh, and you're going to think to yourself, my God, that Rick Emerson's an amusing fellow. Sarah laughs, and she doesn't even know who Rorschach is. That's how funny I am. You don't even
know. Okay. Rain it in there, cowboy.
You don't even need to know what the hell I'm talking about. It's funny. A Rorschach test. My God, I amused myself. All right, so no one could say this.
I really thought that was a bunch of gay men.
Well,
when you showed it to me.
I don't really know the answer to whether it is or not, Sarah. No one can see what I'm holding in my hand, but I am holding up, I believe it's an Admit One card. You and a guest are invited. This is one of those passes they give you to get for like a screening of a film. Not like a press screening. It's like it's just one of those screenings where just everybody and their brother gets to go. Which are in many ways great to go to if it's sort of a fun film because the audience is always drunk and chaotic. If it's any kind of a serious film, it's no good because the audience is always drunk and chaotic. But they have these at the front desk. This is the last one. Dave Zinn gave this to me. This is the last pass they had. And I'm holding it in my hand here. It's this little card that gets you in to see the screening of Pride. Wednesday, March. Well, maybe it is a gay thing. But Wednesday, March, because it has the word Pride, it must be. There can be no other option.
It's just the way they're all shirtless and positioned very closely together.
Yes. On the front of this, there are a bunch of bare-chested black men. Can Nubians be men, or is that a female thing only? I was going to say strong Nubian brothers, but I thought maybe that was redundant, so don't they look like strong Nubian brothers? But then I thought, is Nubian a thing that's a female term only?
I just see a bunch of shirtless men. I don't know.
What's a Nubian?
I don't know.
Okay. On the front here, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There are 6 strong Nubian brothers. All of them shirtless.
Maybe you should stop saying that until you figure out if that's a female or male term.
I'm just saying. All of them shirtless except for Bernie Mac. And then there's some woman. There's some chick down at the bottom. They are all shirtless and smooth-chested. No hair on these men. There's no chest hair on them at all. And then it says, Terrence Howard. See, this is my thing. Sim, look at the front of this, please. The front of this. Does this look just aesthetically speaking, does this look like a comedy or a drama? Just based on the way that this film poster is laid out.
I would say it is an athletic film about pulling oneself up from the bootstraps to get out of the hood. But that's just my...
That's just the assessment of the news department. Escaping the hood through bootstraps.
There are plenty of these movies every year.
It doesn't happen
in real life.
No, in real life, no one gets out of anywhere. In real life, no one ever betters themselves and things never change.
No.
Everyone just ends up poor or in jail. That's not just in the hood, by the way. That's everywhere. That's in my neighborhood, too. There are no shortcuts to a dream, says the tagline. And it probably is
a sports film.
And here's how you know it's a sports film. It has here the key phrase at the bottom, inspired by true events. That's probably it.
It's a sports film.
All right.
In the hood.
You apparently, myself, that is to say me, Rick Emerson, and a guest, we're invited to attend a special screening of Pride tonight, Wednesday, March 21st, 7 p.m. Guess what theater?
Lloyd Center.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Why, hello there. It's 4 minutes and 18 seconds after the hour of 11 in this, the month of March in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming along and making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed, yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming along. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to be part of today's program today, 503-733-2970. 733 Do not. I should have given the phone numbers at the top. Think of all the dozens of calls about the word Nubian that I could have been taking all this time. 503-733-2970. I think it's possible this is a movie about a swim team.
Can I see it?
Doesn't this guy in the middle?
Well, they're all shirtless for a reason.
Well.
No, it looks like a... It is a swim...
Maybe it's
yeah.
a Bob Guccione film.
And Bernie Mac, the coach, there's the strong, supportive woman down in the corner.
No, but she's way down at the bottom. And you know, at some point, there's got to be a speech between... Like, there's got to be an argument between her and somebody about, you know, baby, you got to support me while I live my dream. I thought your dreams included me. That's what she says. Whatever happened to our dream? Why is it your dream? Well, anyway, I think it's entirely possible it's a swim team film.
But I would think Bernie Mac would play the coach, and then I'd think he'd have a whistle around his neck, and I don't see a whistle.
I think
this guy might be doing a weird yoga pose or something.
I would think that Bernie Mac wouldn't be in any movie about a swim team ever. That's what I would think. All right, 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to be part of today's program with your comments, your clarifications, your 2 cents, your corrections, your conventions, your what have you. You want to email us today, by God, you can do it. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. It is Wednesday, and welcome to day 12. Can I just say this, by the way? And yes, I can. There's no way of stopping me. It is a point of pride with speaking of pride. It is a point of pride with me on this program that we have never used the phrase hump day. Ever? I think that's the first time it's ever been said. I think just now is the first time the words hump and day have been used back to back. Because it's a repellent and abhorrent phrase. Someday when I'm the king of this country, I'm going to have it stricken. And if you use it, your eyes will be put out. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. All right, here's what's coming up today. Ow, 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 there are metal barbs all up and down my penis. What else? Sarah Dillon has ball therapy. We'll talk about listener party. I wasn't going to laugh at my own joke there, but then you did it. You sort of snickered, and then now I'm laughing.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever received in the mail.
Yeah. Ball therapy. Getting ball therapy through the mail is pretty difficult. It's like playing tennis through the mail. Listener Party 10 coming up April 19th. Coming up Thursday, April 19th. Thursday, April 19th. If you're tired of me saying that, we're going to say it like a few hundred more times. Thursday, April 19th, Listener Party 10, for which we still need a name. Don't call about it now. Don't call with party names. There's no point. If you call with it, we'll do a segment later on. Maybe, I don't know, maybe after CNN this hour. Maybe around 11:40, 11:45. We'll talk because we need to come up with a name for it. And as I said yesterday, I'm not going to get bogged down on this right now. I am going to say that kissing my ass, I don't know that it can be topped. It may be impossible to exceed that. But it does mean, but you know what? But there are no shortcuts to a dream. And we have to pull ourselves up by our own whatever. Whatever it is that we've got. So we'll do that later on. We'll talk
kind
about
of ran
them.
Out of steam there, huh?
It kind of fell apart at the end. Most of these great these slogans sort of fall apart when you lean on them a little bit. We'll talk about Listener Party 10, which is Thursday, April 19th. We'll talk about it later on this hour. And we've got a big announcement about that to get to as well. We will do that today. So later on this hour, we'll talk about the name for Listener Party 10. Then probably like in the 1 o'clock hour, because we're going to need your help with this. These parties. We'll have all the stuff that you've come to know and love and fear and dread from all the previous parties, but there's a little twist on this one, so we'll talk about that. What else? Not Lisa Goddard. Today we have, is it Dick Giuliano?
Mm-hmm.
I love that guy. I don't know that I don't mean this in a bad way. I'm saying, I don't know that I want to talk to Dick every day, because he's a little intimidating, because he's just so damn professional. He's so professional that I don't even feel the desire to beat it out of him. I don't even, because he's just such a pro. He's almost, like with Dick Giuliano, it's almost like I don't even need to be here. It is like I don't even need to be here. I just, Dick Giuliano, go. And then I leave the room for 5 minutes, and I come back, and he's Dick Giuliano, Cape Canaveral. And he's wrapping it up. So we'll talk to Dick Giuliano today about a bunch of stuff. So we got that coming up. What else? Ed McCarthy is going to talk to us about it. It's good to know that it's not the Pacific Northwest. Apparently the entire country is being plagued with allergies already. It's only March. I think yesterday was the first day of spring. But it's only March, and apparently everybody, the nation's collective eye has swollen shut already. So we'll talk about that. Jim Roop will join us. We'll pry a little gossip about Phil Spector out of it, but apparently there's some big Arnold Schwarzenegger, Rush Limbaugh beatdown happening there today, or happened. So we'll talk about that. Scotty J will join us. We'll talk about a lubricant thief, and somebody tries to kill her husband with thousands of wasps. So that's all on the way. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. Hey.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm actually good. I didn't sleep very well last night.
Not me either.
Yeah, I thought that I was, I remember still being up like 4 o'clock in the morning, like rolling back and forth, cannot sleep.
And then you do that, everybody knows the thing where you wake yourself up by angrily lecturing yourself about how you got to sleep.
And then you keep looking at the clock.
Come on, you got to sleep. And then you never
And
can.
It feels like 2 minutes have gone by where you're awake and it's really been an hour and you're just missing out on sleep.
It's like 5:15 and then you're just hating yourself because then you can feel the bad tired on the horizon when it goes off. Here's the thing that's worse. I'm not going to go on and on about the whole thing about men and women and how like women like to have the room at like 85 degrees and men like to have the room at 60 degrees. I mean, it's just one of those. Everybody knows that that's the case. There are exceptions, but everybody knows that generally speaking, men are happy to have the room at about 15 degrees, every window open, air conditioner on in the middle of October. These men like the room to be cool. Women enjoy the room to be hot. And so we got this electric blanket, and of course it doesn't. Like, it's not like a Craftmatic blanket. It heats the whole bed. There's no, you can't turn half of it off. So Lars got the electric blanket on last night, and I'm doing that thing where it's like I'm just sweating, and I'm just, seriously, and I'm half asleep, and I'm too hot to sleep, but I'm too asleep to get up to do anything about it. And that's the worst. When there's something keeping you from sleeping soundly, but you're just asleep enough that you don't want to get up to fix whatever it is, and usually it's the bathroom. Usually it's when you're sitting there, and there's just, I don't wish to work blue, but I'm simply saying it's just sort of a very low-key, gentle prodding from one's bladder area, saying that, you might want to look into this. You might want, there's a situation developing down here. You may want to, and then you're like, no, I'll go in the morning. And then, but you can't really ever achieve true REM sleep, because it's like your body keeps going like, hello, I really think a trip to the bathroom would look. You know best. You may just. I mean, look, real quick, get out of the bed, out, back, done. You can be back in bed in like 2 minutes. And you're like, no, I'll do it. Shut up, bladder. I'll do it in the morning. Fine. Okay. And then you're trying to go back to sleep again, and your bladder keeps going. Look, it's me again. Now, I'm just going to ask one more time. Seriously, I think you'd sleep a lot better if you just took care of this. And it's useless to resist. I don't know why the first time I have the urge to get up and use the bathroom, I don't just do it. Because you know that you're inevitably going to give into it anyway. I mean, there's no, you know that it is going to be an hour from now. You get an hour closer to death, an hour of sleep you didn't get, you're going to have to use the bathroom anyway.
That was very touching.
Shut up. Shut up, my
bad. I was also, then I couldn't fall asleep because I had to put Muppet in his cage because he got into my purse when I was sleeping and chewed up like half of my makeup.
Oh, no.
I was so mad. And I was kind of worried too because he got some of my eye drops.
You know what dogs love too is like anything that touches your body, like chapstick. Max loves that. It's like chapstick or just, and it's just hideous. It's so gross. It's like underwear. Max, let me chew on your underwear. It's just revolting on every level. All right. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today, kids.
Well, a former Woodburn coach gets a state reprimand for biting the thighs of a half dozen wrestlers who tried to give him a wedgie. Brittany completes the minimum required stay in rehab and rejoins the real world. The Green Hornet comes to the silver screen, and Rosie O'Donnell turns 45 today.
I don't know, really? Only 45?
Only
Are you
45.
Sure about that?
Yes. Well, I'm sure she shaved it a few years off.
I was waiting for that.
Zing! I wasn't even prepared for my own humor there.
Oh, Tom Likas, you sassy bitch.
Okay.
I'll give you something else to pick. I don't even get that.
Yeah, I'll give you something else to pick.
I'll give you something else to pick at.
Best not to dwell on it. I don't think you just pick at.
Let's move on.
503-733-2970. 503. And he bit what? The insides of somebody's thighs? Several people's thighs?
Wrestlers' thighs.
Wrestlers. Okay. All right. So that's all coming up. Rick, are there photos of Sarah's ball therapy? We should explain what we mean by Sarah's ball therapy. Sarah got in the mail.
I have a ball in my hand. Squishy.
Sarah's got the squishy ball in her
kind
hand.
It's purple colored, too, which is weird.
It's a purple ball that you're receiving therapy
it's
from.
It's a portable miracle ball.
Sarah received in the mail this morning, this is and from people on the in radio, people send you crap all the time, hoping that you will talk about it. Fast food restaurants will come by. I mean, it sounds great, and I suppose it is great. We would like to though, say on the program that we do not accept, nor do we offer consideration for any sort of product or payment. That would be wrong.
I thought you shoving your mouth full of a Wendy's spicy chicken sandwich.
But you know what? Right there, that's the first time it's ever been mentioned. That's the first time it's ever been mentioned. They dropped it off. There is no better way to make sure that I will not talk about your business or product than to give me some free stuff because I'm so afraid of you know, running afoul of the CBS, the payola or plugola, whatever that is. Doesn't plugola sound like a kind of chewing tobacco from the 40s? But you bring something like, here, have a box of donuts from my donut company. I will never mention your donut company on the air, ever. Ever, ever, if you give me something free. Because I'm just, because I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to, actually, you know, Laura Klein's in here kicking me in the head. So Sarah gets this thing in the mail today. It's some sort of exercise device called, what is it, a miracle ball?
You can put your face on the ball, and it eases the pain.
Does it actually can
this ball? Yeah, it's ball therapy. And it's the same as PMJ.
Really?
Yes.
So are you supposed to
PMJ and tension around the eyes and improves posture.
Hold on, let's take these one at a time. TMJ, which is a jaw disorder, by the way. TMJ is a disorder with opening and closing your mouth. So are they saying, Sarah, to help with this mouth disorder, you're supposed to
put your face on the ball.
You're supposed to shove the squishy ball into your mouth?
Yeah.
So juvenile. Even if we're not even 5 seconds into it, I'm already embarrassed by the entire thing. A squishy purple ball into your mouth. All right. This is like that time you had to cut a commercial where you had to use the phrase ball launching action. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
During our downtime.
For Wilson Sports.
When we were off the air, and Tim has probably done these too. Have you done voiceover work, like the telephone on hold messages?
No. I've never been able to find any outside work anywhere.
Well, the only... So great. I mean, it's not great for you, I suppose. The only...
No, my life is full of dealing with people with substance abuse and personal problems who don't return phone calls or emails in a prompt manner.
And then what happens when you go home?
Zing.
Zing. One thing, but then I take it the other way. The only time I ever
That's
got any
what it's all about.
The only time I ever got any of that work was through Sarah, actually, because Sarah got some voice work doing something like voice. It was like a voice on hold. Like when you call and they put you on hold and they say, your call will be taken and the order is received. Because Dave Paul does that, too, our former news guy at Intercom. He does that where, like, you call whatever, like the Bob's Fish House, and when you go on hold, it's Dave. Come by today. Enjoy some succulent trout or whatever it is. It's Dave Paul who was paid, I don't know, X dollars just to be the voice on hold. So
he's got a great voice. He should.
He does. He's got a very pleasant and pleasing voice, which I don't really have. So the only time I ever got any of these outside voice gigs ever in my life, I've been in radio for, God damn, is this even possible? I've been in radio for 20 years. None of them happy. The only time I ever got any outside work was through Sarah. She was like, hey, do you want to come do some voice work for, like, however much they paid me? Like,
they paid us a ridiculous amount of money. Well, it was ridiculous at the time. I think they gave us, like, $200.
I was unemployed, so it was all ridiculous. I was unemployed, so it was, like, $200. I'm like, oh, that's so great.
I know. I can fit my phone bill.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I can eat this month. But we had to do the voice on hold message for a sporting goods company, and it was where they gave us, I wish we had the copy, all of these specs. We should find out what the number of that company is, we can call and be put on hold and hear our own message. But the copy was about some softball bat, and it's one of those things, like, there's a whole list of products out there in this world that you didn't really know people took so seriously. But it was like all of these specs and stats about some softball bat, and that's what Sarah had to voice. And I swear to God, this is absolutely, I swear to you on everything that I hold sacred, Sarah's copy that she had to read about the softball bat contained the phrase... The thick shaft with its spongy center gives you superior ball launching action. Which is fantastic. And I don't even, I mean, and they made you read that like 100 times.
And you kept making me laugh, and they were getting mad at us.
Well, and at a certain point, I think that they were just making you read it like just to screw with you, though. I don't really think there was any, I think after the first 50 takes, they probably had all the takes they needed of you talking about the thick shaft and the ball launching action. Yeah. All right, before we do anything else, Kelly, hello, sir, or madam.
Madam.
Hi.
Hi. A little bit of information on the electric blanket situation.
Yes, miss.
They actually have electric blankets. I have one where you have half is for one side and half is for the other side of your spouse.
Really?
So that actually, yeah, because my boyfriend is always wants the windows open every time, and I get my freeze my butt off.
Right.
So finally, we just got one of those electric blankets, and he never turns his on. But I always have mine at like 6, 7, so it's like freaking hot over here. But.
Yeah, and I don't, this is for stronger minds than mine. I don't really know why there's such a disparity between the temperature that women like the room at and the temperature that men like the room at. There's, someday when
I don't understand that either.
No,
I don't.
And I mean, I'm just saying, it's not that we, I mean, it's not that the men are all really thin either. I mean, I got all kinds of flab and I still get hot. So I don't understand when I go to heaven and God sits me down on a stone wall somewhere and says, "What would you like to know, my child?" That's going to be like the third thing. That's going to be after the Loch Ness Monster and whatever happened to D.B. Cooper.
It's going
to
be on your top five.
Totally. And am I the only one, and now I'm assuming you, I don't know, you sound like you're probably in your 30s, maybe not. Am I the only one who really honestly wants one of those Craftmatic beds? Speaking of Craftmatic adjustable mattresses.
I really want one, and I'm not 30, I'm actually 18, but I...
Well...
Rick, way to go, Rick.
Take it as a compliment. You sound very mature.
Thank you.
What are you doing listening to this radio station?
Actually, I work for a coffee company, and your guys' radio station is actually the only radio station that comes in. Thank God.
Okay, so it, at least initially it wasn't my choice. It's sort of a you learn to like it kind of a thing.
I actually do get like Rush Limbaugh and all them, but you guys are the only ones that actually talk about crap I want to actually listen to.
There you go. Scotty, that's a promo right there. You guys are the only ones to talk about crap I want to listen to.
Exactly. Yes, one of those beds would be great.
Ever since I was a kid, I used to see those commercials. We're all over the place today, but I used to see those infomercials or those long, you know, 2-3 minute commercials for the Craftmatic adjustment. It's like the left side goes up, the right side goes down. It'll like fold up. It'll spin over. It vibrates. It heats. It'll make you an omelet. Tim, do you even know? I don't even know why I'm directing this to Tim. Do you know how much a Craftmatic bed is, should I wish to buy one? Do you have any idea?
I would say at least $400 or $500. They're hospital beds, aren't they?
I don't know. They're sort of super hospital beds,
They do show old people on those commercials all the time.
So they do show people on the brink of death. All right, excellent. All right, Kelly, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Have a good day.
All right, you call us anytime. That's Kelly. There you go. Kelly. It's 503-733-2970. I am. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. She really sounded like she was in her 40s. So I was trying to play it low, like it was a compliment. I was thinking, she might be in her 40s. Hey, you sound like you're in your 30s, Kelly. So, and then I just muffed it. Totally. Before we do anything, before we break here.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to that squad!
Welcome, Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beamus up, Scotty.
Our intrepid PA, Scotty J. By the way, I'd like to apologize to everybody in advance. A... for whatever that I may say today. And B, because probably at random points throughout today's program, I'm going to be screaming out lines from Full Metal Jacket. Because Joe, our production guy, who works over here to our left, was in the kitchen this morning. And I don't know who started it. I don't know who was the first one to say it. But somebody today started yelling, started yelling Full Metal Jacket lines in the kitchen. And then I've been walking around doing it for like the last hour and a half. Do you ever do that to you when you're driving along in your car or you're just hanging, you're by yourself, you're on your bike, you're in your office, whatever, and there's no one else there, but you will just start saying stuff out loud to yourself and then laugh at it?
I don't think I'm the only one who does that. I might be the only one who admits it. But I'll just say stuff out loud. I know my wife will do this, too. Like, she will seize... She's a big Adam Sandler fan for God knows what reason. She will seize on some line from an Adam Sandler film, and she has revealed that she will be driving along in the car sometimes, and she will just... She'll latch onto some catchphrase from an Adam Sandler film and just start repeating it to herself over, like an autistic child, over and over, out loud, in the car for no reason, driving herself into hysterics. And I was doing the same thing. I'm in the bathroom this morning, and I'm brushing my teeth. I'm brushing my teeth, and I'm all, "Perfect pile!" with the toothbrush in my mouth, of course, so I'm all, so I can't speak, I can't enunciate, because the toothbrush is in my mouth. And I'm standing there looking in the mirror, going, "Herman Joker, why are you not stopping Perfect Pile's guts out?" as I'm trying to brush my teeth for no reason. So if at any point today I just yell at you or refer to anybody as a disgusting fat body, that's where that comes from. I've been doing it all day. It's probably not going to stop anytime soon.
Good morning.
All right. Is it a good morning?
Oh, it's great. Okay. Love this day.
Would you like to correct that line now, or would you like me to do it for you?
What are you talking about, Rick?
Would you like to correct that line now, or would you like me to do it for you?
I've felt better before.
Yeah. How late
Kelly,
were you?
What did you do last?
I don't know. It must be a midlife crisis. I don't know what the deal is.
How's okay.
She's not doing so good either.
That's an over. Okay, somebody's over answering the question. There's this maxim, Scotty, in journalism that you don't ever answer anything they didn't specifically ask you. This is a lesson you've never bothered to learn, thank God. I was just going to ask if you've been drinking last night. I hadn't brought up the words mid or life or crisis or your wife. But now that you brought it up, first of all, do any drinking last night?
Sure.
What'd you drink?
A little bit of everything.
Where'd you go?
Everywhere.
I don't even have to ask if you did it at home. I don't even have to... JJ. Yeah, they're just, "I gotta get out of here, come pick me up."
It was mainly stuff on the, suburban side.
On the suburban strip.
Yes.
Marie Callender.
Yes.
I was just going to say, I'm picturing you at a TGI Friday sitting underneath a crocodile with sunglasses on its face. You're just putting down one fruity drink after another.
Actually,
drink with a little umbrella in it.
I have this favorite lottery game that I like to play.
Marie Callender.
A game. It's Larry the Lobster. People probably know about this.
Sure.
I hit 1,000 quarters on it last night, so the party was on.
You won...
Oh, man.
You won $250 last night?
Yeah.
Is this like a... What is it, like a video poker?
Yeah. And so it's part of the Oregon Lottery, but it's like a real slot machine now.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, it rolls this lobster guy, and if you hit the feature, he goes fishing.
What establishment was this?
He goes fishing for buoys, right? And when he pulls the buoys out, he gets, like, pinched in the hand, pinched in the nose by these lobsters. And I go, "Ooh, that one's worth $140.
Was that
Ooh,
Chuck
that
Cheese?
One's worth it."
Yes, seriously. Was there a guy in a giant mouse
lottery lobster
walking around?
that's a good lottery.
It's really your sincere childlike enthusiasm about the game, which is both hilarious
when you
and
win,
disturbing.
It's great.
Okay. Where were you? What establishment was this at?
I think we were in Beaverton. I mean, should I name some places?
Sure,
I mean,
why not? We I'm to, sure they'd be glad to have the invitation.
All right, we went to Buddy's, which has excellent food, by the way. Buddy's.
Buddy's.
And people
Rascals,
probably know where that is.
Shooters.
Scamps.
Tails.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, all right.
We also did Old Chicago Pizza, and then we did something in West Union where they had karaoke.
Who's we?
Is Mrs. J part of the we?
Yes, she was.
Really?
And a couple other people.
Now, so friends. That's now see, with midlife
they
crisis.
Me out. I didn't even want to go out.
The midlife crisis would indicate that you were leaving her at home.
Well, it's a midlife crisis with the wife, I guess.
That doesn't really
so
count.
You're
that doesn't make
for
sense.
A special
does it?
Friend?
So whatever. Are you interested in applying, Sarah?
I'll give that to you.
We're a WM for W, and we're wondering.
Yeah. As you read in the nickel ads.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, don't lie. Don't.
How
don't
do you even know the abbreviation?
Yeah,
that's
he knows it because he reads them. Cause he...
I totally read them. Don't you read those?
I do,
no.
Actually.
Dude, we're a...
So you pick up a nickel ad.
We're a sassy older couple seeking a young supple plaything. You don't ever
Are
read
you
those?
Seeking a plaything?
That's what's so brilliant
yeah,
about it.
All the
it.
Time. The... All right. I don't even know what we were talking about.
Nor do I.
All right. Oh, well, here's what we're talking about. And this may be Dick Uliano. No. You stay right here. If that is Dick Uliano, Dick, I implore you. Hang tight for just a second. We'll, Scotty will be with you in just a moment. So here's the thing, Scotty. So tomorrow, we brought this up yesterday, the fact that you have this rather unique approach to American punctuation. That's a little
that
karma.
Instant karma.
Punctuation and spelling.
I write words. I write my own words.
Uh-huh. And so Susan Reynolds offered to have her daughter, Lucy, who's apparently quite the speller and also a fourth grader, come in and take you on head-to-head tomorrow. So we're going to go ahead and do that. So
I don't think that's fair.
Yeah. Okay. So it's going to be happening tomorrow is my point. So, but later on today, we're going to give you a chance to sort of to warm up a little bit.
Oh, this is a bad day for doing that.
Yes, it is. So we're going to do that today. Later on, we're going to give you a chance to warm up. And then tomorrow in the 2 o'clock hour, you will be going head-to-head with a fourth grader spelling. You see, I didn't want to take you the whole, are you smarter than a fifth grader? Because I don't want to put too much pressure on you.
Let me get this straight. Today, are you kind of tutoring me? Are you actually helping me?
I'm not tutoring you in any way. Today, we're just going to give, it's just going to be a quiz. It's going to be a warm, like a practice quiz. Today, we will be giving a practice spelling bee. And then tomorrow, you will actually go head-to-head with Susan Reynolds' fourth grade daughter.
Sounds good. So this ought to be great.
Yes, it shall. All right, that's probably Dick Uliano if you want to speak with him, but we should break you. 503-733-2970.
Oh, boy.
Now I've got in my head, it's just him and his wife walking through some weird, like, swingers bar.
Hello. What are you about to say? What's this?
He's back after this. The Rick Emerson Show continues next. Don't go anywhere. Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up later on, we'll go to Ed McCarthy, Jim Root, Jen Lane will be here. We got the top five with Scotty J and so forth. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now from the Hill, CNN Radio correspondent Dick Uliano joining us down the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Dick, how you doing, man?
Good afternoon, Rick. Good afternoon from Washington.
How are you doing, my friend?
Doing great. It's Al Gore Day on Capitol Hill.
Well, you know, every day is that. That's not right. I was going to say every day is Al Gore Day because it sounds good, but it's not really true.
He was before a House panel this morning on global warming, and right now as we speak, he's being introduced to the Senate Energy Committee, where he will also testify about his favorite subject, global warming.
Now, is this, I got two things. First of all, A, is this, to whatever extent you can speculate on this from your journalistic standpoint, is he talking to a receptive audience or sort of a skeptical, almost a hostile audience about global warming?
Well, he absolutely has friends who are chairing the committee. So Senator Barbara Boxer, Democrat, California, chairwoman of the Energy Committee, and Senator John Dingell, Democrat, Michigan, chairing the House panel. These are longtime Democratic friends of the vice president, and they have worked with the rules of the committees to accommodate the vice president. For example, before both panels, he delivered an opening statement of 30 minutes. That's a little unusual. That's generous time given by these committees. And the Republicans were a little upset that the rule was bended a bit, and his testimony was not provided to the Republicans 48 hours in advance. So they're, you know, making a bit about that. But the former vice president spent a good deal of time before the House committee today saying, look, the planet has a fever. Let's deal with it.
Was he given sort of whatever these special circumstances were, these special allotments that were given to him? Is that in deference to his the status of the former vice president or his status as a guy who knows about global warming?
Well, that's a very good question. It's something that I wondered about myself this morning. For example, I noticed at the House hearing, the room was packed. The chairman and the ranking member gave opening statements, but the vice president wasn't in the room and was not brought into the room until he was ready to speak. And not having seen very many vice presidents or former vice presidents testify before Congress, I can't recall really whether that is customary for them to be allowed to wait outside and sort of enter, you know, like a world conqueror with all the flashbulbs flashing. as he enters the room. But, you know, be that as it may, what I always remind listeners of is, you know, the importance of winning elections.
Right.
It is the majority party that runs these committees. It was a Republican for 10 years. It's Democrat now. And these Democrats get to call the shots on how these things happen.
When so Al Gore is there, and as he's speaking to these the House and Senate committees, is he dealing with any number of people, whether it's a small number or a lot of people? Is he dealing with anybody up there who just flat out looks at him and says, you're lying, you're making it up, doesn't exist?
Well, yeah, he's definitely encountered some skepticism among some of the Republican members, but not all Republicans. One interesting one was Ralph Hall, Republican Texas. And if I could do a little bit of math, 03, he is, what, 80 years old. This congressman from Texas, he's known Senator Gore for years, Ralph Hall. In fact, he was calling him Al. And the vice president was calling the congressman Ralph.
Right.
And Ralph Hall was saying, look, I like you, I respect you, but I disagree with you. So likewise, Joe Barton, Republican Texas, former chairman of the House Energy Committee, he says that the president is wrong on some of these counts and simply, you know, that his prescriptions also are not good ideas.
And again, and this is the thing, is just sort of you get the conventional wisdom or your read on the conventional wisdom. When Al Gore is there talking, do you think if you could look inside the heads of the people he's talking to right now, that most of them look at him and think, well, this guy's just getting ready for a run in 08?
Now, that's a tougher question to answer because he himself has suggested that he's not going to run. He's not completely closed the door, and polls have shown that when even though he's not a candidate, when the voters are asked, they put him third behind Senators Clinton and Obama. So, you know, Rick, he's got some viability as a possible Democratic candidate. The point he has against him is he's lost before, and, you know, that taint of losing can work against him. But I think that members of Congress, you know, these people are political people first and foremost, and I think when they're looking at him, absolutely, they're thinking, is this guy a potential presidential candidate?
Absolutely. All right, Dick Iuliano on Capitol Hill. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Rick.
Always a pleasure. We'll
my pleasure.
You, my brother. There you go. Dick Iuliano for Lisa Goddard. I love that guy. I love him for the...
He's just straight to the point.
Seriously, and I love him for all kinds of reasons that I typically wouldn't. Because, you know, normally you like somebody you can get a little back and forth with and somebody who you can kind of play with, have a little fun with. And the great thing about him is that he just, like, he can't be distracted from the script. That is, he's like one of those... He's like one of those rides at Disneyland where they give you the illusion of steering the car, but it's really on the track. You can turn the wheel all you want. You're going through, It's a Small World or whatever, like the same way that they exactly how they want you to. So, Dick Iuliano, God bless him. We'll talk to Greg here in just a second. Let's see.
This ball actually is really fun to squish.
This is, is it like a stress relieving
thing?
It's
kind of like it. I don't know, you want to hold it?
This is the exercise thing you got in the
middle. It feels a little heavier, though.
Hey. It is. Oh, it's just like a big. Okay, it's just like a big rubbery. It's like a big handball. That's exactly what this feels like. All right, there you go.
Except it's a miracle ball.
It's a miracle ball. Rick, you can imagine how much my opinion. Oh, now see, I don't even want to read this because the guy and I. You'll note if you go to rickemerson.com. David Krauf, I think his name was Krauf. Whatever, the guy who wrote the movie Screw Story the other day, I have removed that from the website and I put up, I haven't put up yet, but I will put up today, a little note from him. I got an email from him saying, thanks a lot, you know, fun is fun, but come on now. And he was really cool about it. He was a cool guy. And so he's fair enough. So I took it down, and I'll put up his email later on. He was actually pretty cool with the whole thing. But so I almost don't want to read this, but... That's only almost. Rick, you can imagine how much my opinion of KGW's news department grew more favorable after hearing the professional meteorologist this morning explain that since today was the first day of spring, the sun would rise due west and set due east. What the hell? Signed, Brad. Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, Brad. Let's see. Oh, here we go. See, they're already coming in. Rick Emerson, Listener Party 10, Sluts and Smokers. We already had Sluts and Drunks. Let's see. What else? Things about the horse shack test. Before I get this call, this is about Nubians. Rick, about Nubians. Nubia, this is true. Okay, now somebody has sent me the Wikipedia entry here. Apparently Nubia was a country...
Well, that's true.
No, it's got to be. Nubia was apparently a country in Africa. blah, 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 essentially annexed Anne. It says, okay, and this says it was apparently this net was annexed by Egypt. So Nubia, what is now, what your people know as Egypt, it was apparently Nubia. So Nubians can be either men or women, although in a colloquial sense it is typically used simply to, okay, so these, so apparently in this, Terrence Howard and Bernie Mac could in fact be Nubians in this movie Pride. All right, there you go. Fantastic.
You did not misspeak.
No, I did not. Thank God. It's 503-733-2970. We can either, I'm going to take this call, and we have a couple of things we can do. We can either do the dry run with Scotty J and the Spelling Bee.
I think we should do it before his hangover wears off.
I feel awkward about it because he's just going to spout off with more midlife crisis business. All right. Well, Scotty, would you please, if you could just...
Scotty J.
If you could just come to the studio, that would be fantastic. Greg, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
What's up?
Well, for some reason, I bought a house out in Newburgh, and I knew I needed to furnish it so it didn't look like a frat house, you know, with the beanbags and the inflatable chairs and so forth.
Right.
So I like to patronize the sponsors of the radio show, which I love. So I made the trip out to Geico PDX and was able to furnish my entire living room very reasonably priced and looks very, very nice. And wanted to thank you for mentioning them.
Not at all. Glad you went there.
It's
amazing furniture.
It
really is.
It really is cool. And the price, you know, I was expecting it when I walked in there. I thought, this might be a little spendy, but was able to walk out very reasonably priced. And now my house looks really nice. Also, went out to everybody's garden center as well because the previous owners of the house did not take care of the yard. It looks like a jungle.
Fantastic. You're officially my favorite person. You are now.
Let's just swing by CD Game Exchange and pick up a couple albums.
Seriously.
Yeah, well, of course. I have one more question for you, Rick.
Yeah.
Why is it that when I drive in Newburgh in the morning, I get 1140 KSL News Radio from Salt Lake City along with San Francisco and Seattle, but I cannot seem to pick up AM 970 quite as clear as those stations that are states and states?
Well, we're trying to be fair and balanced, so we figure you need a little Mormon talk in your life. So
fantastic. Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. There you go. KSL, which is broadcast from the heart of downtown Salt Lake City, which is owned by the Mormon Church. So there you go. That signal just goes everywhere, by the way. I think you can be in Los Angeles and actually get, depending on where you are, and actually get KSL at certain points. All right, it's 503-733-2970. So later, I will move this thing about Listener Party 10, because we have Listener Party 10, which we have revealed has happened. Does this smell like Febreze in here?
I think it's the ball.
I keep smelling Febreze, and it's sort of distracting me.
It might be Scotty J.
Scotty?
Yeah.
Did you clean the place today, or what?
It's totally Scotty. You completely smell
Febreze. Also, he skipped the shower and went for the Febreze.
You totally reek of Febreze.
It's not Febreze. It's called Cuba, and it comes in a cigar, and you, like, squirt the cigar on you.
God,
it's great stuff.
Is it a cologne?
Yeah. And it,
are you aware that Cuba's a communist country?
Are you kidding me?
What do you think?
Yes.
So,
I am aware. But it's pretty cool.
You're wearing a cologne that smells like Febreze?
It doesn't smell like Febreze. It just smells like
really?
Febreze to you guys.
Is that the lie you tell yourself? Okay. Well, whatever you say, friend. I mean, look,
hey,
I'm no better than anybody else. I know what it smells like, at least.
Christine from KUFO, she said, hey, I love that smell. And I'm like, all right, then.
She says that to everybody.
Give her the wink and the snap. That type of thing.
Oh, please tell me you didn't. Please tell me you didn't give her the wink and the snap. You don't. You want to cross that woman, she'll kill you.
No, she's great.
She's great until you cross her, and then she'll cut out your eyes. All right. Well, in any event. All right, so Listener Party 10 is coming up Thursday, April 19th. Later on, maybe 1 o'clock hour, we'll reveal kind of the some more stuff about it, because we're going to need your help on it in a real way. We're still going to come up with a name for it as well, so we'll do all that later in the show, as well as Ed McCarthy, Jim Root, the News Hour around the corner. All right, so coming up tomorrow in the 2 o'clock hour, we will be having Susan Reynolds' daughter, Lucy, here. We'll be facing off against Scotty J in a spelling bee. So, without further ado, Scotty, I figured that I would...
You can knock this out instead of picking on me.
Top five, we'll do that later. So this...
I can't wait to hear it, actually.
We're not picking on you. We're sitting you...
Oh, you're not picking on me.
No, is there no. This is practice a little bit more before tomorrow.
Are you saying that you don't need the practice?
Are you going to coach me?
Well, if by coach you mean deride...
Yes, Scotty, and it's not going to work while you're trying to convince Rick between breaks that he should give you the words in advance.
Seriously, Scotty, as we're going into the break at 11:30, Scotty's like, you know what would be funny is if you gave me all of the answers during this
and
break.
And I'd be really good today, and then I'd do really bad tomorrow. And really.
Sounds like a good idea to me.
And exactly what would coaching you in a spelling bee consist of?
Scotty, put an A there.
Okay, that's not that's just telling you how to spell.
I think, well, what he wants is just a sheet of the words, and so you can just spell them right off the page.
That would be nice. It's flat out obvious. I don't know how to spell very well.
Well, see, this is why we're going
to... But I know how to use big words. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm. Use one now.
I can't think of one.
Okay. So it's really more of a theoretical skill.
Yes.
Okay. This is, so what we're going to do is, you know, if you watch baseball, you've heard, you know, people swing two bats in the warm-up circle.
A swing and a miss. That'll be me.
This is what we're going to do, because tomorrow you're going to be facing off against a fourth grader with fourth grade words. Today, we're going to give you sixth grade words. That's what we're going to do. We're going to ramp it up.
Brutal.
So tomorrow, by comparison, should be relatively easy. So tomorrow at 2 o'clock, kids, you want to be listening for that. Tomorrow, that is Thursday at 2 p.m., Scotty will be facing off against a fourth grader in the spelling bee. But today we're going to quiz you with some sixth grade words. Are you ready?
So when you were brushing your teeth, talking
stalling.
About private pile, were you thinking of these words this morning or what?
You're stalling.
Yes, I am. All right.
Oh, Scotty, don't be scared.
It's a beautiful sunny day out today,
it
and
sure
I'm having
is.
To endure a spelling test.
All right, are you ready?
Okay.
Okay. The first word, camouflage.
All right, I'm going to miss this.
Are we letting him write these out?
Hey, that's only fair.
Yeah, might as well.
It's
come
not,
on.
You know, you can't do that at a real spelling bee.
You can't do it tomorrow, but you can do it today.
Today, well, okay, that's a fair split. Tomorrow, you cannot.
I'm going to...
Today, we'll let you write these out to see if it looks right.
Oh, my God, it's going to be... This is horrible. C-A-M-O-F-L-A-D-G-E.
Camouflage.
C-A-M-O-P-H-L-E-G-E.
I'm like laughing at someone's weakness.
I know. It's a total weakness. Same with math.
All right,
we got to make Rick do math. That's what we got to do. All right.
How about this?
I can't believe I can't spell camouflage. You see, let me explain myself.
Silhouette.
S-I-L-O. I know that.
Oh, do you?
Do you? S-I-L-O-E-T-T-E.
No.
God.
Okay. How about this? How about... I'll give you an easier one. These are all sixth grade level here.
That's ridiculous. Thank God for spell check.
Spell ridiculous.
R-E-D. No, too late. I know how to spell ridiculous.
You don't. Clearly you don't. You just...
R-I-D. I-C. U-L-O-U-S.
You screwed it up like two letters in.
Right, because I don't
That's
feel
Scotty
so great.
That's Scotty clapping for himself. Uh-huh. Right.
Crystallize.
C-R-Y-S-T-A-L-I-Z-E.
No.
Are you kidding me?
Saying it faster doesn't help.
Maybe
saying it faster doesn't mean...
Slide one under the radar.
No. Okay, you're now 0-4.
R-A-D-A-R.
Ready?
I hate today. Glad you guys are amused.
Monotonous.
Okay, M-O-N-O-T-O-N. I'm just going to go with the O-U-S.
Very good, Scotty. Congratulations. You got one. Would you like to go out on top?
Yeah, I'd like to go out with one out of, like, what, five?
Yes.
That's excellent.
20%. That's 20%.
I can get through life that way.
I have no doubt about that. All right. Now, tomorrow, though, is the real deal. There'll be a fourth grader sitting right here tomorrow. And there's no running. All right. Let's take a break here. We'll come back. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth with the AM 970 New News Hour. Pardon me. Later on, Ed McCarthy, Jim Roop, Top 5, etc. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.